and grace to you in peace from God the Father and from our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, and behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. That's how the real Easter, the real celebration of Jesus' resurrection began. It began with hearing the risen and living Lord say greetings, or more literally, rejoice, and with simply worshiping him in joy and wonder. But before that joy came, before those stunned and adoring women could take Jesus' feet and hold them, there was sorrow, there was fear, there was confusion. And all that, in spite of having felt that earthquake, and in spite of finding the stone rolled away, in spite of hearing that the tomb was empty, and the angels say, "He is not here." And yet the shock and the grief of what had happened Friday seems to have overwhelmed all the words of Jesus and that angel. You might remember that Jesus had warned the disciples that he must be handed over and killed and the third day rise. He must rise. Death would not be able to hold him. And yet those women, they had seen him dead, beaten, bloody. How could life come back after such an awful death? And yet that morning, the tomb was empty. And the angel gave the women that strange and wondrous message. "He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, you will see him." Sorrow, fear, confusion, that's how the day began for those women. And then there was joy thrown into the mix. Fear and joy battled in their hearts as they left the tomb that morning. And I think that typifies our lives in this world as well. Fear and joy battling within us as we live with Jesus' empty tomb. For his tomb has been emptied and has remained emptied for nearly 2,000 years now. But other tombs, other graves, they are still full. And that's the fear, that's the heartache of this life where you and I, we still see and feel death at work. For death reminds us that there's still a consequence to sin. And you and I, we still fear judgment. And at times we anxiously wonder whether or not our sins might come home to roost with us. So while the joy of Christ's resurrection is a truth that we honestly confess, the joy of that is not always in our heart. Our hearts can still get weighed down by the world and its troubles, especially in these confusing times with the COVID epidemic. We get weighed down by our dull and weak flesh. We get weighed down by the assaults of the devil, who, though he is now chained, still barks like a rabid dog and can bite if we get too close. Even though we have the word, even though earthly messengers have solemnly and joyfully told us year after year after year that he is risen, we don't always know what to make of the empty tomb. We don't always know how to live in light of it. But Jesus comes to us, and to us he says, "Greetings," or "Rejoice." The living and risen Lord, he comes to us here in his church. Here he is real and active and alive, and he comes to us in the waters of holy baptism. And there he says, "Rejoice, as you share in my death, you also share in my resurrection." He comes to us alive and glorious in the gospel. And there he proclaims our sins forgiven because he died for our offenses and is raised for our justification. And he says to you, "Greetings, rejoice," as he comes to you. He comes to you raised in power, never to die again, in the holy sacrament of this altar, feeding us with the very bread of immortality, because it is his flesh and blood, the same flesh and blood that is now risen and lives evermore. And because we eat and drink, not only do we have the forgiveness of sins, but the very life of the living Lord courses through us to give us a life that will not die. Jesus comes to us, my friends, risen and living, and says, "Greetings, rejoice." He comes to us no matter where we might be this particular Sunday as we are scattered and sheltered in place. And so, what did those women do when they saw and heard Jesus that first Easter? Well, they worshiped him. Turns out the joy of Easter is rather a simple thing. We're given no great commission this day. We're not sent out on any quests or assigned great works to do. We are simply given to greet the risen Lord who comes to us wherever we are, who comes to us and says to us, greetings, rejoice. We receive him and then we worship him. And as we do that, we come to know the truth of St. Paul's words to the Corinthians. Paul wrote, Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man death came, by man also comes the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Rejoice, worship. And then know that Christ's resurrection is yours. You were baptized into his death so that his death has become your death as well. And yet as you are joined to his death, so too his resurrection is yours. And it is the beginning of a new creation. He is the first fruits. He is the assurance, the earnest of what is coming. For in him we see life even in the midst of death and know that love and grace and certain hope continue in this world, no matter death or hell. This is what Luther wrote concerning Jesus' resurrection. He said, as in his resurrection, he has taken all things with him so that both heaven and earth, sun and moon, and all creatures must rise with him and be made new. Even so, he will bring us with him. The same God who raised Christ from the dead will quicken again our mortal bodies and with us all creatures, which are now subject unto vanity and which with earnest expectation await our glorification and desire to be set free from this transient existence and be made glorious. For us, more than half the resurrection is accomplished already because our heart and head are already above. Only the smallest part remains to be done, namely, that the body be buried in order that it too may be made new. No one will deny that a corpse of a dead man is a wretched thing, but I possess an understanding that is higher than what the eyes see or the senses perceive, which faith teaches me. For there stands the text saying, he is risen. He is no longer in the grave and buried under the earth, but he is risen from the dead, and this is not for his own sake, but for our sake, that his resurrection may be made ours, so that we too may rise in him and not remain in the grave and death, but that our bodies may celebrate with him an everlasting Easter. Rejoice, worship, and trust, my friends. Trust that the eternal and final Easter is coming. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.